Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Birth of a New Earth. My name is Janice Barcello, and I'm your host for today here at Republic Broadcast Network. We are totally listener-supported here, so please, if you have the means, do make a donation to keep us on the air and to have the truth flowing. I have an incredible guest today, the most amazing, intelligent, articulate, very powerful sister of mine, who I have enormous respect for, and I am very pleased to have her on the show today. Her name is Sophia Smallstorm. I want to bring her in right away because we don't have a lot of time. Sophia, are you there?
I am, Janice. Wow, thank you for such an introduction. That's awfully nice of you.
Well, I'm an awfully nice person.
Obviously.
No, but it's true. Sophia has made a huge difference in my life on numerous levels, not the least of which when I got very, very sick from the radiation, Sophia was right there trying to help me through it the whole time. So she was not physically in my space, but constantly on calls with me and assisting me. I do want to say something real quick about this, that in 2016, I mentioned to Sophia that I was beginning to hear the frequencies, that I was experiencing tinnitus. And Sophia said to me, "Oh, so you're becoming sensitive." And I said, "No, no, I'm not. Cancel that." I did not want to consider the fact that I was beginning to have a physical breakdown from the radiation, but shortly thereafter, that is exactly what happened, and so she was right, and she's right about a lot of things, and the information she's going to bring today is very, very powerful. Sophia, you've done a lot of research into ultrasound, similar to me, and infrasound and the military impact on this technology. I'd love for you to share some of the history that you have discovered, and maybe a little bit about why you became interested in this topic.
Well, Janice, yes, you know, I bought a book a few years ago called War of the Whales. It was a mainstream, sort of like a science-based book on the marine mammals in the ocean and what was happening to them. Its author is Joshua Horowitz. And it sat in my room for a long time. Finally, I picked it up and I started to read it. And I went, wow, this is an incredible book. And it should be titled War on the Whales, not of the Whales, right?
Yeah.
So I was just transfixed by this book. I kept reading and reading. And the majority of the content focuses on how our military used the cetaceans of the ocean. These are the marine creatures who use sound, echolocation, to navigate. And they, you know, produce clicks and whistles, moans, snaps, popping sounds. Whales are in a different class. No, actually, they are also cetaceans. But they were showing up, and still are, bleeding from the ears, stranded on beaches, dying, and nobody seemed to know why, and people were blaming this on Fukushima. And the fact is that, did you ever hear about Rosalind Peterson?
No, I mean, the name is vaguely familiar to me, but off the top of my head, I don't know what it's connected to.
Okay, Rosalind Peterson started the Skywatch trend. She started California Skywatch. She was in the agricultural department, the state agricultural department, and then noticed that all kinds of things were happening two crops. They were drying out, they were not faring well, and she looked up in the sky and saw those lines in the sky left by aircraft. So she began her famous website, California Skywatch, which then generated lots of different Skywatch websites in many different cities and states. And Rosalind reported very actively on the U.S. Navy warfare training range complexes. And if you go to my blog, sophiasmallstorm.com, and you simply type into the search bar at the top, training range complex, a bunch of posts will come up, and you can see the maps of these things. So I would say back in, 2008, 7, 8, the Navy suddenly announced its desire to set up all around the coast of America, and not just America, also Hawaii, also the Mariana Islands, the Hawaiian Islands, well, I said that, and Okinawa. They were setting up these training range complexes where they were going to detonate all kinds of electronic equipment, chemical warfare equipment, and they were going to practice with it, right? But then they had not just the detonation areas mapped out, they had these enormous study ranges. And the study range of the Hawaiian Islands training, warfare training complex is like thousands of miles. The one from the Atlantic coast stretches one third into the Atlantic Ocean, so 1,000 miles. And same with the Pacific training range complexes. The study range goes way out. So you know that if they're studying what's happening in these areas of the ocean, then something is happening. So all of their chemical weaponry, their explosives, their sonar experiments, their radar experiments, they already told us in their literature that this was going to harm living things, and their word for it is take. And so all this mass herding and asphyxiation of marine creatures, sometimes it's not even just the mammals, it's you'll see all kinds of fish washing up and they're all bleeding and dying. So mass stranding of species, just like being vomited onto beaches, and they're completely helpless. And so my guess, my educated guess is that this was coming from Navy warfare experiments, which have not ceased. They continue to go on.
I'm reminded too, recently I was trying to communicate with a gentleman who wrote a book about the dangers of about the dangers of vaccination. He had a child that was had a brain hemorrhage in the womb. And I said, this is because of ultrasound. It's causing hemorrhage, and much else besides. Definitely autism and a bunch of other things are going on as a result of this technology. So all of these animals in the ocean are also suffering from severe hemorrhage from these frequencies, these technologically produced frequencies. Now, you started out by explaining that these animals produce natural ultrasound. And the frequency range is much lower than what they're pumping into the oceans through their technologies, like much lower. But still, it's a different energy between natural ultrasound and technologically produced ultrasound. These are diametrically opposed energies. One is
Yeah, there's the decibel level as well, you know. For instance, I will just give you an example. This beaked whale, Cuvier's beaked whale is called. It's called from George Cuvier, who discovered it. It can dive. One particular whale dove 9,816 feet. This is one dive that lasted over 2 hours, 137 minutes. So in the book that I read, War of the Whales, they say, by comparison, a World War II German U-boat reached its crush depth at 860 to 920 feet. Okay, so even the deepest diving military submarines cannot go where a beaked whale goes. And the reason is, this has happened evolutionarily, right? Its skull is almost twice as thick as a dolphin's, and that's to withstand extreme pressure at great depth. So these animals, they make these sounds. It's called biosonar. And there is something called the deep sound channel. And this was proved in 1944 by a geophysicist from Woods Hole Laboratories off the Atlantic coast, on the Atlantic coast. It's Massachusetts. Maurice Ewing. So he got on the destroyer, the USS Buckley, and he started to drop four-pound bombs. And they were supposed to detonate 3,000 feet below the surface of the ocean with very high decibel, low frequency sound. So they had hydrophones submerged in the water, and they were listening for the detonation of these bombs. And he would move 10 miles, 10 miles, 10 miles more. So by the time he was 900 miles out to sea, he ran out of bombs to drop. But he could still hear all the explosions from his hydrophone, which was 3,000 feet deep, and there was no signal loss. So he set back for Woods Hole to announce to his pals that his hypothesis of a deep sound channel was correct. And in this deep sound channel, the animals, they use it as a transmitter. It's how can I describe it? It's very, very deep in the ocean, and it, in the military terms, it's called a waveguide. But animals have been using this forever. So you can imagine what happens when military bombs start going off at these very high decibels, and they are, these sounds in the deep sound channel, they travel for thousands of miles without diffusion. It's like a sound pipeline. So these really, really loud, very unnatural explosive sounds, you can imagine what that does to the animals who are not adapted to that. So this is why they're coming up to the surface and they're bleeding, they have brain hemorrhages, just like you said about the baby in the womb. This sound penetration at very high decibel level is causing these calamities in our ocean species. And the thing is, nobody knows and nobody cares.
People will start caring when they figure out that their babies are being treated in the same way that these animals in the oceans are being treated. I think I explained last week, ultrasound has been measured at 120 decibels. So the womb is an oceanic environment. The amniotic sac is a totally oceanic environment that the baby is in. And so the sound is amplified extensively. 120 decibels is as loud as being next to a chainsaw when it's in operation, or being in a subway when the trains are coming in. It's extremely loud. Now, you amplify that, multiply that by magnitudes, the ocean.
Right.
These animals are completely surrounded. And this is reverberating for 1,000 miles.
Yep.
Destroying living things. They knew this in the early 1900s, that fish were dying that swam through the ultrasonic beams. They've known it for so long, more than a century, how harmful. And yet these creatures persist. It's important what you're saying, because this is war technology. That is why it was created, for the express purpose of destroying. And they are using it on our babies, and also calling, you know, like they're doing something therapeutic with ultrasound. No, they're not. They're hurting your body.
Janice, I wanted to just mention that I was reading a book, this is also years ago, by Sandeep Johar. He's an MD, and he's written a couple of books. One was, the one I read was about the practice of medicine, how medicine turned into a business, and doctors are, you know, not enjoying that. They have to hustle patients. But he and his wife observed the ultrasound images of their baby in the wife's womb, And they played this, I guess it was a recording of the ultrasound upon the baby. They played it over and over, and they just were so jazzed, joyous to see how the baby threw up its arms in the womb because of the ultrasound. They didn't realize that this was the reaction to the baby being hurt. The baby was flinging up its arms, this little fetus. And I, having learned from you, realized that's what they're talking about. This is not something to celebrate. Your baby is not throwing his arms up because he's welcoming his birth that's going to happen in however many weeks or months. He is showing that he is being hurt. It's a reaction to being harmed by what you just described.
Trying to protect his body. You see babies covering their ears, some of the ultrasound. You see your mothers, and this is extensively documented in my book, mothers coming stories about babies jumping all over the place when they're being, sonogrammed like that. Babies are not responding well to this technology. And many women are having miscarriages. And this just came up. I don't want to get sidetracked, but this just came up. Somebody sent me a video of what's her face? She's a YouTube sensation. So she's been diagnosed with what's called an incompetent cervix, and so she has her cervix opens up and the babies are coming out before term.
Is that her name? What's her face? Or you
What she
just
called
can't.
it, what's her face? She's very well known.
Okay, I never heard of her. I thought you forgot her name. But
That's,
anyway,
yeah.
I so what has happened, again, this is another thing people don't realize. We go to SeaWorld. There have been these marine theme parks all over the country where, unfortunately, they capture whales and dolphins and they keep them in these small artificial ponds and they train them to jump and catch fish and perform. Now, people don't realize, guess who sponsored the creation of these marine parks? The Navy. This is because of naval funding that we have SeaWorld. And the Navy has decided to study what's called biosonar to create animal-inspired technology for itself. This is called biomimetics. And from biosonar, we got biomimetics, technologies inspired by animal behavior. And then the Navy branched into bionics. Now that is a combination of biology and electronics. So they have taken their studies of cetology, the study of cetaceans, whales and dolphins, into other physiology areas, including our human brains.
So did everybody get that all of these marine mammal quote unquote parks are actually laboratories through which they are trying to build technology that mimic the sounds of these animals? And the reason that they are doing this is because they are Kabbalistic sorcerers who know that sound is fundamental to the creation of manifest reality, and that they can blow up this reality with sound, with their technologically produced sounds that are an inversion of natural sounds that are designed to produce harm. That's what these marine mammal parks are.
Correct. And I'm going to tell you about a guy called John Lilly, graduate of Dartmouth Medical School. He was a brain specialist, an inventor. He was from a banking family, John Lilly, Lilly. So he was also an electronics wizard, and he was also a trained psychoanalyst. So there was this park which has since been closed. It was bought by SeaWorld. And then closed Marineland in Palos Verdes, California. And there in that park, to prove what you just said, Lily put an electrode deep in a dolphin's brain and loaded it with voltage. Can you imagine? And I'm going to read from the War on the Whales book. As he gradually increased the electrical current to the probe, the animal began vocalizing in what Lilly called a dolphinese fashion. Deeper penetrations and increased voltage evoked a more exuberant vocalizing than I've ever heard before. This is Lily. Whistles, buzzings, raspings, barks, Bronx cheer-like noises were emitted. One time he mimicked my speaking voice so well that my wife laughed out loud and he copied her laughter. Lily constructed a lever that the dolphin could push with its beak to activate the electrical charge itself. After pushing the lever faster and faster, the dolphin went into an epileptic seizure and died. Now, what Lily uncovered in the course of his experiments was that dolphins, when properly stimulated, were able to mimic human speech. Lily left Marineland convinced that he had tapped into the whispering chamber of interspecies communication. Listening to the whistles, laughs, and barks of the electrically neurostimulated dolphin, he heard a voice calling to him across what he termed the air-water boundary separating humans from their cetacean cousins. Lily had come to Marineland in search of a big brain of human-like complexity. What he discovered was a mind in the waters. He chose the 1958 annual meeting of the American Psychiatric Association in San Francisco as the first audience for his proclamation that dolphins offered us a gateway to what he termed cosmic consciousness.
You know why he's sending it?
Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
We should actually talk about why he's presenting it to the American Psychiatric Association. That is because these frequencies can be used for mind control. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Let's try it again. Okay. Let me try it again. Can everybody hear me now? Okay. So what I want to stress is that he presented his information to the American Psychiatric Association because they are interested in technologies for mind control. And they realize that ultrasound, which is coming off of all of your cell phones, folks, all of your wireless devices, can be used for mind control. That's why the American Psychiatric Association is interested. Sorry, Sophia.
No, that is part of it, definitely. But the fact that there's this bigger mind, this is what they're interested in as well. They're interested in super consciousness.
I don't know that they're interested in super consciousness. You know, I think they're interested to stop it.
Well, you know, I mean, they want to take it over, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point. They want to study the animals so they can take over those methods of technology and apply them destructively and for purposes of control.
Yeah.
But, this deep sound channel, imagine what it's like now in the ocean with all the noise. I mean, the noise of industry, oil drilling, horrible.
Even boats. Motor,
yeah.
You know, can produce very loud noise. All of this... Oh, this is so weird. I'll bring the computer. Okay. All of this that's going on, everything about the technological world is troubling to other living things. And this is what we have to get. We've been lured into it. We've been tricked. And now we're in it so thick that so many beings are dying. We have to find our way back. You know, to the natural world. This guy Lily is interesting because when I was pregnant with my daughter in 1998, I moved to Florida because I wanted to give birth to her in the ocean with live dolphins. And John Lily had some kind of, you know, like a marine mammal park down there that I was going to go to. And somebody said, don't go there. It's a very dark place. And now I understand why.
Yeah.
What you just said. I was going to go there and, you know, try to have experiences with the dolphins there. I ended up having experiences with live dolphins instead in the ocean, you know, not in captivity. So that was great. But John Lilly was not a good character, apparently, especially with his willingness to work with the American Psychiatric Association and to allow dolphins to stimulate themselves to death. Why would a dolphin do that? Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, there are areas of the brain that that voltage was hitting, and the dolphin was not able to control its reactions and was just going nuts, basically. That's what I think. But in 1963, the book tells us that Lilly had raised the money to launch his Communications Research Institute in the Virgin Islands. And of course, who do you think was his first funder? The Office of Naval Research. Which sent a Navy demolition team to St. Thomas to blast a dolphin cove out of a rock and coral promontory. And all his other funding came from the Department of Defense, National Science Foundation, and NASA. So
Okay.
the military is very interested in how we're put together. And people don't understand this either, Janice, that the Manhattan Project was not shut down after World War II. It roves and roams around and among us today in the form of all these institutions and labs and research universities. These are extensions of the Manhattan Project.
And that's something for people to understand too, that ultrasound is fundamentally connected to atomic nuclear weaponry. These are interconnected from start to finish. All of it came about at about the same time in the early 1900s. I think it was in the late 1800s that they discovered quote unquote X-rays. And from there, it's been all downhill for the health of our world.
Now,
The health.
I have a suggestion. I posted on my blog a really unusual video about auditory transduction. That's how our ear uses, how it captures sound waves and turns them into impulses, nerve impulses that then register in our brain. Just go to Sophia with an F, smallstorm.com. And type in auditory transduction, and you will get the most breathtaking video. It's really amazing. So, what happened to you, Janice, when you became sensitive, as I suggested many years ago? Your auditory transduction, your mechanism of capturing sound, started to include capturing radio frequencies and treating them as sound. And this is what happens when you develop microwave hearing. This was again established conclusively in the 1950s by Robert Frey, Frey. He was a scientist, and men from the military had started showing up with these symptoms, these being, dogged and demonized by sound in their heads that no one else was hearing. So eventually, for many people, the ear starts to adapt and tries to do something with these frequencies that are coming in and translates them into these very high-pitched sounds. Didn't you tell me once that when your microwave hearing occurs, it's like an emergency siren going off in your head?
I have what's called ultrasonic hearing and microwave hearing. So the microwaves, to me, sound like a click, 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 or a knock, 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 knock. Is another sound that's chronic, which is the ultrasound. And that sounds like a high-pitched, tortured screech. And I was explaining to people, when you look up bone conduction, okay, what happens is these frequencies stimulate the skull bones, literally the skull bones, because they're crystalline, begin to morph and deform and expand and contract in response to all of these frequencies, which are all in the ultrasonic range. Okay, every radio frequency and microwave is in the ultrasonic range. Okay, so your skull bones start to expand and contract just like the crystals that they use to produce ultrasound. And your ears pick up the sound. Okay, your skull bones are pushing and pulling the air around them as they expand and contract. And that creates a sound that your ears pick up. Plus, your ears have crystals in them. Literally, we have like calcite crystals in our ears that are also expanding and contracting as a result of these frequencies. So there's multiple things going on at the same time. And you cannot put earplugs in your ears and block the sound. You can, I mean, it'll partially block it, but most of it's coming from inside. Gotta go to break. We'll be back shortly. Invited to live our divinity. It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth. It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Everybody, you're listening to Birth of a New Earth. I'm Janice Barcello. Please do send donations to Republic Broadcast Network. Let's support this amazing information that's coming through, please, people. You're not going to hear this everywhere. This is incredibly important stuff. So if you can, please support the station by sending a donation. So, Sophia, we were talking about what's going on with the ears, and you were asking about what I'm hearing. What did you want to say about that?
Just that your auditory mechanisms are able now to process sounds that most other people can't hear. And, you know, we adapt in biology. This is one of the things that you can observe in your own backyard. When the wind blows, a tree will lean, susceptible to the direction from which the wind is coming, and then it'll stay that way. So we all could potentially adapt in the manner that you have, and that is not pleasant because it exceeds our tolerance.
It does exceed our tolerance, and you brought up wind. I don't want to change the subject. Can you hear me now? I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this would be. All right, I'm going to keep trying. I'll talk really loud in the hopes that people can hear me. Can you hear me now? All right. Okay, so this wind that you just mentioned, Sophia, makes me think of the topic of wind turbines. I don't know if you want to shift gears a little bit into the infrasound topic. Would it be okay to go there?
Yes, sure.
Because I saw an article the other day which disturbed me greatly on what these wind turbines, which they're calling these things clean and green technologies, right, and really pushing them. In the meantime, wind turbines release infrasound. And infrasound, I just want to describe what's going on in Denmark, okay, with the animals that live near the wind turbines. And this was Google translated, so it's not a perfect translation. But it says that the animals started screeching in their cages, and they began to bite each other. The vet was called at dawn. The police were called in the municipality where the wind turbines are located. Already a half a dozen animals were dead in their cages. More than 100 inflicted deep wounds on each other, so deep that the animals had to be killed. This was a mink farm. So the wind power is making the animals sick. It's generating these oscillations below what's audible, but still making animals go crazy. And, of course, making people sick. There's more to the stories in this article, which is on my website at radiationdangers.com. So this man is explaining, since four wind turbines were installed near his home has become uninhabitable. His wife and he spend the night sleeping 50 kilometers away. He complains of breathing problems, headaches, and a feeling of tightness in his chest. The complaints come from the sound waves of the wind turbines. I can't read the whole article. There's a lot here. Newborns are being born with birth defects in the area. Okay, and he noticed after mating season, he had approximately 500 of the 4,500 animals have miscarriages or stillbirths. 500. Normally, the average is 20. So animals are having stillbirths, people are having stillbirths, and babies with birth defects live near the wind turbines because they produce infrasound.
So, Janice, you should tell people what infrasound is.
Infrasound just means that it's below what they consider the level of human hearing. But what we've been discussing all along, they also say that anything above 20 kilohertz is ultrasound and people can't hear it, which is bullshit. It is bullshit. Millions of people can hear these frequencies. And certainly babies can hear these frequencies in the womb, and animals can hear these frequencies in the ocean. And in the ocean, they are pumping both infrasound, I don't remember the exact number, what that's below, okay? I really don't. I'm sorry. But it's irrelevant. The fact is, infrasound and ultrasound being generated in a lab for purposes of destruction, and that is what these frequencies, these technologies, are causing all across the earth, wherever they exist. And solar technology and wind technology, these technologies are deadly. They are not healthy. It is the solar system on the house where I lived in New York that brought me down.
So the lower limit of human hearing is said to be around 20 hertz.
Okay.
And upper limit is 20,000 hertz. But women can hear up to 22,000. Women hear higher than men do. Dogs, you know, this is why you buy that dog whistle and it sounds like nothing is coming out, but it's ultrasonic. They can hear it. So a lot of animals do communicate with infrasound. Elephants do over long ranges. But this infrasound, we experience it as well. For instance, a lot of people don't like the sound of a truck that is vibrating really low. I can hear it in aircraft. You get tense when you hear a helicopter coming. You get tense when you hear trains, trucks, sometimes motorcycles, the very throbbing, low, pulsing sounds. And this, I believe, we are hardwired for because those same sounds are contained in the air, transmitted by the air, but right before an avalanche of snow or a stampede, right? So we know that when we hear those, it's more our bones are feeling the infrasound, the very deep, low rumble, that something bad might start to happen.
Well, yeah, and something bad is starting to happen because your bones are responding to it.
Right, right.
By expanding and contracting and morphing and deforming. And they could blow. Literally, that's the whole point. You could blow people up.
Yes, you can, by infrasound, you can do things to the eyeballs, the liquid in the eyeballs, at those very, very low frequencies. People have subwoofers in their sound systems. Those are low-frequency sounds in the range of near-infrasound, and people think that that adds depth to the rendition of the music. Because, yeah, the depth is that your body is actually feeling it.
Yeah. I'd love to take a call, or if you're up for that, we'll try to.
Sure.
We've got a lot to share. Andy from Texas, are you there?
Oh, hey, thank you, Janice, and our guests there. Hey, you guys are talking some little stuff there, and I'll be brief because you do have a full show. No, as far as what these people are doing to the planet, they're destroying everything, and they have been for several years now. I mean, look at the nuclear tests that they blew up underground or under the water and whatnot. Fukushima, I mean, was that just an underground nuclear sub that the Russians had sunk in 87 and they finally blew it up? Because it was pretty sequential to where this tidal wave went. But, you know, the earthquake must have been a very small one. You know, things like this. These people are throwing radiation everywhere. We already know the Spanish flu was about turning on the telegraphs, and they were experimenting with sonar and stuff. We know that now that we just repeated ourselves with this COVID-19 thing because it's 1917 all over again. we just didn't see it coming, and basically they want to destroy the planet. They want to get rid of the carbon dioxide. I mean, we're all carbon-based, including the trees, the plants, and everything on this planet is carbon-based, and these guys have a war on carbon. So my question to you, if you maybe can render one, is what do they plan on doing if they have a way of surviving this? What is their plan for the planet Earth? Are they terraforming this for some aliens, or they just really want to kill everything and then restart it in their virtual world or whatever world they want to have? I mean, what's really going on, ladies?
Janice, you answer.
Okay. What I understand is that the Jews have something called Tikkun Olam. I've talked about this, what they call a correction. And their correction involves, see, they believe that God made a mistake and there's an imbalance on the earth. God created too much good, too much love, and not enough evil, not enough of the forces of destruction. And so their fix is to get rid of as many creatures that are of the good as possible, by any means possible, while simultaneously using their rituals to open up portals to allow demonic entities to come forth. Okay, that's their fix. I want to stress that these entities, they are discussed in the Ringing Cedars books. I think it is book 3. Their planet has no life. None, except for them. Their planet is...
Hey,
Their planet has only technology. Yeah? Let me finish.
I'll be real quick. Go ahead, Janice. I'm sorry. I'm just anxious to say something.
All right. Give me one second. Their planet has only technologies, only things that they build from metallics and toxins. That's what's on their home planet, machines. And that's what they are. They are AI. What do you want to say, Andy?
Okay, yeah, just to let it go because you guys are busy and we're getting close. That brings up what I was talking about on Lucas' show just before you with CERN. You said they're bringing entities to this planet, and CERN is a big way of doing that. However, they're quite mysterious, and we don't know exactly how and where they're doing it. And if they're actually just bringing demons here, or are they just opening up a whole porthole for anybody to come back, but they're hoping the demons come back, something like that, because we are really moving into, I guess that would be considered spiritual world here. We're much more than just a group of people in pods walking around pretending like life is cool. But there's much more to us, and that's they've taken away our ability to connect with what we're really supposed to be, and I think CERN has a lot to do with that.
And the whole frequency grid has a lot to do with it. Okay, all of these frequencies have a lot to do with preventing us from accessing our true nature, from what we really are and what we're able to create and co-create. So they've got the planet on lockdown right now. Yes, they are attempting to bring demonic energies through portals. They're also trying to blow holes in time-space to erase history. I've talked about this previously. Okay, there's a lot going on here with what they're attempting to do. Okay, there's another caller, Michael Herzog. Are you on the line?
I am here, Denise. Nice to meet you. I've never spoken with you before. I have a couple quick questions. What you were just speaking about, erasing time and history regarding the CERN, which I believe Andy brought up, do you think there's any correlation there? And then I have a question for Sophia, but do you think there's any correlation there between that and what has been brought forth in the past few years called the Mandela effect?
I don't know what the Mandela effect is, to be honest. I can't answer the question.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that. I did a show on the Mandela effect many, many years ago. But I have a question for Sophia. And by the way, you gave such an eloquent introduction for Sophia. Obviously, you don't know her as well as I do. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to ask Sophia. Sophia, in all of our conversations over the years, one question that I have never brought forth to you, and I know, and many people may not know, that Sophia loves the ocean. She swims 2-3 times a week. And my question to you, Sophia, in your course of your excursions through your ocean endeavors, have you ever encountered or had any interaction with these dolphins that you guys spoke about earlier in the program?
Oh, yeah, I have. I have had two very remarkable experiences with dolphins. One I wasn't even aware of, but I swam a good mile. And when I came back, there were people standing on the beach just looking at me in awe. And they said to me, "Did you know that you were surrounded by a ring of baby dolphins the whole way?" And I said, "No, I had no idea." But that was actually the case. The lifeguard even told me that this whole swim that I did, I was surrounded by baby dolphins, and they swam with me. So I never saw them, but they were there. And then the second experience I had, I was swimming with a friend, and we were a quarter mile offshore, and there were two dolphins cavorting in the water, and one of them suddenly charged me, and I was very worried. I thought this was going to be the end of me. I thought he was going to slam into me. And these are big creatures. This was not a baby dolphin. It came rushing at me, and I was terrified. And suddenly, at the last minute, it took a left turn and veered completely out of the way and went swimming off to La Jolla shores in another direction. And I felt it laughing. This was a prank by what I suspect was a male dolphin. So those are my two stellar dolphin experiences.
I'd love to chime in here because I lived in Hawaii for 11 years, and I had some incredible experiences with dolphins and whales. If you want to swim with dolphins, I would recommend that's the place to do it in January or February. Those are the busiest months for the dolphins and the whales to have great swims with them. And it's amazing to be in the water and to hear the dolphin sounds, first of all, to know that, you know, you can see the pod and you're swimming and God, you're swimming and swimming. Finally, you can hear them and you know you're getting closer and closer. And then when they appear, how playful they are and how sexual they are. That's an incredible sight to witness. And the whales are immense and extremely, extremely deep. There's an energy there that is so ancient and so immense and wise. And I had this desire to look in the eye of a whale. And I just want to share that we were on a boat for the express purpose of trying to swim with whales. And we got out into the ocean and we prayed in a circle for the ocean, for the whales, for all living things in the environment. And within 5 minutes of our prayer, they were there. Like, I first saw mother and a baby right next to each other. I was so close to them that it was extraordinary. And then from the deep came this big papa. So I'll never forget this experience of looking at them that closely and feeling their energy. There were multiple times when they would come by the boats, you know, but this, I was in the water when this happened, and I could have reached out and touched one.
Well, you know what, Denise, let me interject here. You know, I have a theory on why they are probably so playful and played a prank on Sophia. You know why that is, in my mind? It's because they live in a completely different world, a totally stress-free of what we have to endure up here on the surface. And with that, I'll let you guys go. Brilliant show, Janice. I congratulate you for that. Sophie, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Michael.
You bet. You guys have a good day. Bye-bye.
So, Michael said it would be nice, you know, if they were in a stress-free world, but apparently humans are interfering also with that world, with these technologies.
I'd like to just squeeze in something about how dolphins actually use that echolocation. So you have heard, probably swimming with them, the sounds they make, like a creaking door. And those are clicks, thousands of separate clicks. And each dolphin has its own click chain, distinctive personal click chain, and they can send out a couple thousand clicks per second. So these clicks, each one bounces off what's around them, and they don't send out further clicks until they've analyzed what is returned. This is the bouncing of the sound wave from when it hits an object. So thousands of clicks per second means thousands of returns per second that they're interpreting. And now here's another thing, because you are into the birthing experience, Janice. Birthing mother dolphins have a midwife in attendance. This would be a dolphin, of course. And the midwife remains with the mother for several weeks after her baby dolphin is born.
They're so beautiful. And they've got so much to teach us. When you are there in February in Hawaii, January and February, whales come there to mate, to give birth, to nurse their baby. They go back to cool waters north. So they're there every year to bring their babies in. And the ocean, when you're swimming at the shore, you know, snorkeling or whatever, you go under the water, you can hear the whales. And it's like this symphony. I can't explain. It's different. The dolphins have a much more playful clicking, and like you said, you know, and that's how they're doing their echolocation, locating prey and perhaps mates, you know. Incredible that they have midwives for each other, which is, we should have that, enormously helpful, somebody to stay with us for a couple of weeks after we give birth and make sure everything's going well. I just think these beings have so much to teach us and to share with us and to bring joy to our earth. Here we are in the midst of a takeover by these wicked demonic entities, you know, who are seeking to destroy them and us. We have to do something about that. Not the answer to which I have beyond intending that they be gone, that we be rid of them permanently. This earth and this universe, be rid of them. They should be quarantined for the rest of eternity. Furthest corner of the furthest universe. So that they can only influence each other and not hurt any good living thing again. That's my take on it. Sophia, did we miss anything that you wanted to cover today? Because we've got just a few minutes left.
Well, I only want to add this, that in these theme parks, SeaWorld and whatnot, they do not treat these animals well. They do not treat these animals the way they need to be treated. They can't be in captivity. They should not be made to perform, you know, in all these shows hour after hour after hour. And you could read, I really recommend people get War of the Whales and then put a little sticker over the word of and on your copy and write on, War on the Whales. But you will learn an awful lot about what human society doesn't realize. I mean, people take their children to SeaWorld and the entry fees are horrendous, cost of admission. And I understand it's expensive to run these things, but this is not where these animals should be. We should not be watching them in a theme park.
I couldn't agree more, and especially now that we know that these are really places of naval experiments.
And yes.
Animals are, all of these experiments, what we call science, has so much satanic evil involved in it. And animal abuse, and abuse of humans, of course, torture of humans, electroshock torture and sound torture, and all the things we're talking about today are all interrelated. That's what science really is at its core. We pretend it's something else, and we're told, you know, follow the science, and we should respect the science. Well, I don't. I don't respect it. After all my years of researching and seeing these researchers who have found over and over again the same damage, refusing to actually say we need to stop using these technologies in our world and certainly during pregnancy. See, the researchers don't come to those conclusions because they're pathetic. They're pathetically lame.
Well, special interests are paying for the research.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all about killing. It's all about killing. All right. We got a lot to talk about next week, folks, which I'm looking to. Sophia, I cannot thank you enough for having come on my show, and what an honor it is to have you and to just dialogue with you in general is fantastic. So thank you for existing, and thank you for being in my world. Thank you to the callers for calling in with your questions. Thank you to Sam for being an amazing producer, and thank you to all of my listeners for being with me all these weeks. Please, I encourage you, tune in next week. Come back, because we'll be covering some very important stuff. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated.
Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.